Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob.
And we welcome you to April, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Hernandez here alongside Gary D'Amato. Always tough to do a podcast, Gary D'Amato, on April Fool's Day, but that's when we're doing it. I mean, I want our listeners to know up front, everything we say will be the gospel truth today. I've never done an April Fool's column. I don't know if I could pull one off because especially in this day and age, I don't really like to mislead people. But I've seen a lot of interesting things. My son sent me a tweet today about Giannis's brother and Brook Lopez's brother buying the bar in downtown Milwaukee called Brothers. And I thought, man, what a great idea. And then I realized what day it was.
Yeah. Wasn't there a years ago, Sports Illustrated did a big story on an imaginary pitcher, I think, who was supposed to be like the second coming of Sandy Koufax and Nolan Ryan put together. And it turned out to be like a 6-page April Fool's joke, I think.
I saw somebody on our Wisconsin golf group today say that he just found out today that the LPGA has been using cups on the greens that are 1/8 inch wider in diameter than the PGA Tour. And I said, there's no way. And in fact, there was no way. So I always feel like I've come to the end of a finish line after April 1st that I haven't been duped to the point where I'm a real nerd for not knowing what's fact and what's fiction.
Well, I'll lay one on you, and I promise this is not an April Fool's joke, Rob. We're supposed to get up to 3 inches of snow in my little corner of the state and up to 6 or more inches, like in the middle of the state up toward Fond du Lac. So good luck, boys, golf season, right?
Absolutely. And that's why I was kind of shocked today. In fact, just before we started recording our podcast, we did get our first boys golf result of the season. And it came from the Northeastern Conference, way up in, well, not way, way up, but Twin Oaks Golf Course in Denmark, where Little Shoot and Wrightstown shot matching 357s to share the first place honors in the first Northeastern Conference meet of the year. Jacob Zweyers of Little Shoot is 76. I can't, they said here conditions. This is from Robert Balza, the coach at Fox Valley Lutheran. And he said the conditions were cold and windy with a little snow at the end. And again, I after the great February and March that we had, I cannot believe that the season opens with, pretty poor conditions for practice last week. And, nobody really moved up meets. We're supposed to have the first big invitational tomorrow up at Lake Wisconsin Country Club in Prairie du Sac. And I'm guessing that probably won't happen. They're expecting 1-4 over in the Madison area. It boggles the mind, Gary, how Mother Nature works.
Yeah, what a shame. All those great weeks of weather, temperatures in the 50s and 60s, and now we get a blast of winter in the first week of April. It's what a shame for high school golfers who are just itching to get out. I remember those days well, Rob, though. I remember looking forward to playing in my high school matches and playing in that kind of weather. Not fun.
No, and I was playing golf with a guy last week in, I don't know if it was league or if it was just we got matched up, I think it was, and he was a former coach in Illinois where I believe the boys and girls both play in the fall. And, then that's the age-old, debate as to what's the better season. In the fall, you're coming out of summer. You're competitively, each golfer is in theory at their peak unless they've really overdone it with the number of tournaments they play in, and sometimes fatigue can set in. But weather-wise, I mean, usually most years, you can almost guarantee good weather through the regionals or maybe sectionals, and then it gets a little iffy. It's about a 50-50 proposition at the state tournament for the girls in Wisconsin, whereas the boys, last year was a good example where the Minocqua area, some of those kids didn't get out on the golf course till well after May 1st.
Yeah. And if I remember right, at the girls' state tournament this past year that Izzy won, the weather was pretty good, wasn't it?
It was decent. I mean, cold, it was fall-like, and that's fine. I think that's what we all kind of aspire to, is to have, colorful leaves on the trees, but, you know, not have to wear 18 layers to try to swing a golf club. And you're right. I think they, it was, I think, acceptable for WIA State girls conditions. And at least no rain, or no significant rain, maybe a few, you know, some mist here and there, but, you know, nobody was squeegeeing the greens.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, you know, again, it's temporary, but it just comes at a bad time of the spring here for boys golf. You know, hopefully in a week, I see the long range forecast looks pretty good. Temperatures in the 60s, you know, in 5 or 6 days. So it's going to melt fast, but then you deal with the mud too.
And, I mentioned last week, on our podcast that, it was, fairly, Wisconsin autumn-like, over Newport Beach. And it was the same this last weekend in Palm Springs for the PGA Tour Champions event. And, it was less than normal conditions here in Phoenix for the LPGA Tour, their stop, a new event, the Ford Championship out at Seville Golf and Country Club. But the first 2 days when Emily Lauterbach out of Heartland, was playing, were just, perfect. And, the scores were low. It was a record tying low cut, Gary D'Amato. 5 under par was the cut. And the last time, there's only been 3 tournaments in LPGA Tour history where the cut has been that low. And, one of them was the 2019 Thornberry Creek, Classic, LPGA Classic up in Green Bay. When those golfers just ate up that course. And the course down here at Seville didn't look that easy, Gary, but, you know, the first couple of days it wasn't too bad. And, of course, Emily Lauterbach gave it a good run, only missed the cut by a shot.
Yeah, good coverage over there. Robbie did a great job, and Emily played very well. She shot 1 under. Was it 1 under the first day and 3 under the second day?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. That's really good playing for your very first time teeing it up in an LPGA Tour event.
And, of course, she shot the 66 to get into the tournament at the Monday qualifier. He had to win a 3-for-1 playoff for the second of 2 berths out of a field of about 50 golfers. And so that was a major breakthrough. And then, you know, we might have talked about this, Gary, but, you know, seeing the sports psychologist, Dr. Moe, who's worked with Zach Johnson, among others, Keegan Bradley. He's based out of Sea Island, Georgia, and she was down there while visiting her friend Bobby Stricker down in Florida, drove up to Sea Island and had a session with Dr. Moe. And it's a situation where her driver, in competition only, gives her problems where she's hitting it way, way offline. She claims she's hit it as far as 200 yards offline off the tee. There were 2 times in the round that I followed on Thursday where she just simply didn't go through her total swing thought and pulled one and did it twice, was able to keep the ball in play, but I think both times led to bogeys.
Yeah, that's I guess that's a little concerning. You know, she played well despite that. You know, it reminds me of Ian Baker Finch, who you know, at that drove him from the game. His driver got so wild he couldn't control it, but this is something she's going to fix. I'm sure it's probably more mental on this point than technical, right? Because she's hitting everything else well. She's Absolutely. Hitting her iron well. She's playing really well. So it's just got to be something in her head that hopefully, you know, Dr. Moe Pickens can help her get over or get past.
And she told me that, you know, when she hits the ball in the fairway, you know, a birdie is almost automatic. And, you know, there were a lot of times she hit 3 fairways the first day and 5 the second day and still shot 71-69. And that's pretty good. You know, shows some great scrambling and shot making ability to be able to hit, especially out of the dormant Bermuda, out there at Seville. You know, when you're just a little bit off the fairway, had a couple of bad breaks, but boy, you know, she started out with a 3-putt the second day. I wasn't out there for Friday's round, but, started with a 3-putt, had one other, hole where she hit it offline, made a bogey, and then, played her last 11 holes in 5 under to threaten the cut. And for a while, when she left the course, she was well inside the top 70, but again, scores just kept going low, low, low. But I thought it was pretty impressive, Gary, that she was able to go after a number and not really worry about, you know, well, a 72 would look a lot better than a 77, that kind of thing, because neither score is going to get her where she wants to go.
Yeah, and, you know, it's I guess it's, you know, playing out of the rough quite a bit, or even more offline than the rough, in deeper trouble, to be able to shoot those scores. It's pretty amazing because it's hard to score on any tour from the rough. And if you're doing that consistently, you know, it's hard to shoot 69 or 70. So all the rest of our game must be really sound at this point.
It was. And, you know, really was spot on with her iron play. And I thought really solid with her putter. And, you know, she uses that aim point putting, takes, you know, a good amount of time to line things up. And, you know, missed a number of putts that were just, you know, kind of could have gone either way, and which is kind of the, you know, the way it goes with, you know, with the greens out here in Arizona. But, you know, she felt confident. She felt like she belonged. And that was the thing that I was looking for because, you know, between the two of us, I was trying to think about it, Gary. I can't remember more than maybe a dozen golfers from Wisconsin who've ever played the PGA or the LPGA Tour. There's probably, what, maybe a half dozen that have played it, you know, multiple years, regular basis, maybe a few more than that. You know, if you really – and then that was stretching it, you know, back when we were at the newspapers and have to boldface the names. That included, you know, Stephanie Farwig, who I guess was from Mequon but, you know, moved away. So, I mean – my point is that, you know, Emily Lauterbach is in a rather select group of female golfers out of the state of Wisconsin who have ever played in an LPGA event, and especially not, you know, the U.S. Women's Open, where you can qualify as an amateur or a professional, and we've had a fair number of women who have gotten to that point.
Yeah, and you know, same goes for the men. There's, you know, probably 10 or 12 guys, not counting the 50s when a lot of the tour was satellite events and, you know, guys like Manuel De La Torre would go down the south and play in a lot of those events. But I'm talking about the regular PGA Tour as we know it. You know, fewer than, I think, 10 guys from our state have played it, and probably fewer than 10 women have played on the LPGA Tour. So, yeah, she's in select company, no doubt.
She had in her gallery the first day Jesse Gary, who has since gotten – now married, former, you know, Wisconsin Badger. It was neat because she had Jesse Gary – and then also Mackenzie Hahn, who she spent most of the winter rooming with down here. And I, you know, it just I you know, wonder sometimes in college sports, with especially now with the you know, with the transfer portal, and I mean, loyalty is kind of a fleeting thing. We certainly have seen that here in men's college basketball since the end of the season for the Badgers and now Marquette. But boy, the golfers sure seem to be a pretty strong group when, you know, from the same school. Because, I mean, Jesse, now Jesse Check, was Jesse Gary when she played for the Badgers. Graduated, I think, in 2010, Gary. It doesn't seem that long ago. And, yeah. And you know, Mackenzie Hahn, you know, graduated with Emily just last year. But, you know, it was neat to see, you know, kind of almost two eras of Badger golf. And I think it says a lot about the kind of program that Todd Erline has promoted at Wisconsin. And Jesse just had a baby son not too long ago, and we kind of put the bug in her ear that she's still welcome at the Women's State Open.
Yeah, she's won it a bunch, right?
Yeah. I mean, she's done quite well there, and just, you know, still, you know, very athletic. You know, her dad owns the Princeton Clubs in Madison, so you know, she's always been a very strong golfer. But so it was a neat. It was a neat experience being able to walk, especially with Emily's, you know, mom and dad. You know, a little nerve wracking for them,
sure.
But you know, it was, you know, kind of one of those things where a lot of the, you know, Nelly Korda wound up winning the tournament on Sunday, her third straight victory. Both she and Scottie Scheffler were going for three starts in a row with victories, and lo and behold, you know, I didn't see Nelly Korda play. We were kind of, you know, one of those courses that goes out and back around, you know, in between the houses. But it was a great, you know, showing on her part. She and her mom then, when she missed the cut, were planning to drive back to Wisconsin either Saturday or Sunday. Her dad was going to fly back. They weren't sure they were going to have room in the car for the clubs. So I'm hoping that he was flying Southwest and could get him on the flight, because she just accumulated a lot of stuff while she was here over the winter. But hopefully we'll see her at the Women's State Open. I think that's down at Meadowbrook, if I'm not mistaken, in Racine this year. And and so, and then, you know, hopefully, really hope I see her on the Epson Tour. Right now she's you know, just, you know, on the top of the alternate list, either, you know, somewhere between first and fifth for the next couple of events. But gosh, I have to think that, you know, performing the way she did at the LPGA Tour level is going to kind of give her maybe a boost of confidence at the Epson Tour level. And especially if she's got that driver figured out, I think a lot of good things are in store for her.
Yeah, and you know, although it was a missed cut, I'm sure she you quoted her in her story that she took a ton away from this experience, and this kind of thing can only help a young developing golfer. Sure, she was disappointed not to make the cut, but you know, as she moves forward here and looks back on this experience, she's going to see it for what it was—a valuable learning experience and another sort of notch or another rung on the ladder that she's climbed now, getting closer to her ultimate goal.
Absolutely. It's kind of fitting that as we record this podcast here, Talking.Golf, on a Monday here, April the 1st, at the same time that Iowa and LSU are captivating the college basketball world on the women's college front, that we talk more women's golf because, Gary, you had the great story today about McKenna Nelson, who's returning to the Drive, Chip, and Putt National Finals this coming Sunday at Augusta National. And we were all kind of shocked over the winter here when McKenna posted to Instagram that she had a medical condition, a heart condition, that kind of appeared almost out of nowhere as she was getting ready for her freshman season of high school golf. And it's been something, Gary, that she's had to battle both mentally and physically since the early part of August. But the good news is she's got a clean bill of health and is going to Augusta National. Why don't you kind of explain what she's been through to get back to where she wants to be?
Yeah, Rob, McKenna had a couple episodes in recent years where she experienced a rapidly beating heart. And, you know, it went away pretty quickly every time, so she wasn't overly concerned. She didn't even tell her parents about these episodes. But then she had a bad one the day before the high school golf season started in August, and where her heartbeat was elevated well past 200 beats per minute, and it was sustained for minutes for a long time. So she called her mom. Her mom came and picked her up. They went to urgent care in Beaver Dam and were sent to the emergency room, and she wound up being diagnosed with a condition called supraventricular, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, tachycardia, which is rapidly beating heart caused by, I guess there's a pathway in the heart that hers, she's got an extra pathway, is what it was explained to me.
Jeez.
So she had more of these. It's not life-threatening, but it's scary, right? So
yeah.
When she'd go to the course, she was always worried if she was going to have another episode in the middle of a golf match or on the range, and she did have a couple more. And the final straw was at a Jonas Brothers concert in November, Rob, when she had an episode, had to leave the concert, and she just decided, I'm going to have a procedure to fix this. And she got on the waiting list to have the procedure done, and it was done, I believe, in February. But the bottom line, Rob, a long story short, is that she's feeling great. The problem has been taken care of, and she has no issues going forward and playing golf now.
Well, I tell you what, I know the Jonas Brothers have had an impact on many a youngster, but we can joke about it now, but I know that that night, you know, there's the four amigas, I'm Abby Hendrickson, Zoe Grinowitz, and Camille DeLost out of Kenosha. They go to a lot of those things and do a lot of those things together. And I know that in addition to competing against one another on the golf course, it's very important to McKenna Nelson that, you know, that balance, that relationship she has with those young ladies off the golf course. And I believe the Jonas Brothers was one of those events because it was kind of in a, you know, centralized location from all of them, you know, DeForest, Beaver Dam, Wauwatosa, and Kenosha. So that's, you know, I'm glad she's kind of figured this out. Now you talked to her a couple years ago before her last drive, chip and putt, when she was kind of, you know, emerging on the scene. Obviously, you know, last year she was probably the youngest person ever to win the Women's State Player of the Year honor after on the strength of her victory at the state match play. But to me, Gary, she's got to be the next big name to come out of here because her, you know, the way she handles things like this, well beyond her years. Reminds me a lot of Pearson Hunt in that respect, you know, where she, you know, appeared on the scene early. Yeah, she didn't win the state high school championship last fall, but boy, you know, after all she went through, she still finished top three. And I just think that, you know, she's got such a great support system around her that I expect big things. And I'm not saying that to put pressure. I'm saying that to recognize really what she's done to this point.
Yeah, she's got a beautiful swing, Rob. She carries her driver around 250 yards at the age of 15, which is pretty incredible. She's very long for her age, and she's physically, she's big. She's big and strong. You're right about the high school season, because she was dealing with the fear in the back of her mind every time she teed it up in a high school tournament through the fall. And to play the way she did, and, you know, as a freshman, finished tied for third at state, speaks volumes for her mental makeup. She has a lot of fortitude and mental strength. And now that she's passed this condition, she's going to be able to play free from that fear, and I think it's going to do wonders for her.
I can't wait to see how she does this weekend. Obviously, Gary, the drive, chip, and putt national finals are a different kind of pressure. She's been through it once before. How do you think that will help her? And what do you expect now that she seems to have every part of her game ironed out in match play and stroke play events? What do you think will happen when she gets three chips, three putts, and three drives to be able to, you know, outpoint other kids her age?
Yeah, I think she's going to do very well. You know, that experience of being there once before certainly is going to help, because, you know, as a young kid or a teenager, you're walking into an atmosphere that's unlike anything you've ever experienced in golf. You know, it's Augusta National. There's members in their green jackets milling around. There's former champions walking around, and the whole experience has got to be very unnerving. But now she's experienced, and I will say, Rob, the first time was during the height of COVID, 2021, and so there was that hanging over everyone's heads too. Everyone had to be tested, and her father Ryan was sick, and they were worried with COVID. It turned out to be food poisoning, but she said she didn't feel like she got the whole experience the first time around, and this time around she'll definitely get that.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. That's Sunday. Of course, you can see it on Golf Channel, and those of you who have Peacock, I pirate that from my daughter's account, and so if they aren't live with things, I can go to Peacock, and it's always on, which is kind of cool. But, man, I tell you what, I've got more streaming services than I know what to do with. and she's not the only one from Wisconsin going. Another name that will be familiar to some golf fans in southern Wisconsin, Tatum Oswald, out of the Beloit area, is going to be going as well. She is a middle schooler in the Parkview School District in Orfordville, just outside of Janesville. Her brother Trey is competed at Orfordville Parkview, I believe. I know he qualified for the state tournament. I can't remember if he finished first or second 1 year. I remember.
And, I think he won 1 year. Yeah, he won it 1 year.
And it might have been the year at when they had the two sites at the Dells. But anyway, he's now at Eastern Illinois. So we might be seeing here, Gary, a young lady in McKenna Nelson who's kind of, reaching the peak of her junior golf career. And we've got another emerging junior golfer in Tatum Oswald who's just now started to play a lot of summer events. And I know you had a chance to talk to her too.
Yeah, had a delightful conversation. Sounded much more mature beyond her years again, as a lot of these golfers do. They grow up in a great environment and learn how to handle themselves very well. And she certainly did in our interview. We had a phone interview, talked to her dad a little bit. Her dad said she's very athletic and she's very coachable and adaptable. And she's working with Travis Becker, Rob, at TPC Wisconsin. And we all know that Travis is a great teacher. So she's in very good hands with him, and excited to see what she does at Augusta National.
And it's kind of cool because that even though Parkview is a small school district, they've had some pretty good success in golf. Not only with the Oswalds, but, Maddie Vine came through the girls program there a few years ago, played down at Missouri Western. And her dad, Jeff, is a huge advocate for junior golf. And I often see him, in the gallery or even on the bag with Trey Oswald. So, Jeff Vine is the whole Parkview community is closely is tightly knit, and you know, they got a neat little 9-hole course down there in Footville, I believe, and it's a neat story. She's 11 years old. She'll be in the girls 10 to 11 age division. If you're watching, McKenna Nelson will be in the 14 to 15 age group, and again, it's all gravy at this point especially for Tatum Oswald.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool pipeline we've got going in this national event, Rob. I think we've had at least one golfer in the national finals probably every year since the inception, or close to it anyway. Some pretty good junior golfers have qualified there. And, of course, nationally, you know, people like Akshay Bhatia and a couple others on the PGA Tour got their start playing in that when it started 10 years ago. So it's a good competition, televising Golf Channel. And, it's going to be fun for these kids to get in there and experience that atmosphere.
And you are heading down to the Masters, Gary, next week. You'll try to touch base with these two young ladies on Monday, the day after the competition, during the first of the practice rounds at Augusta National. And you've got to be just even though you've got a snow in the forecast there, my friend, you've got to be thinking it's spring because the Masters and your trip down to Augusta is coming up.
Yeah, Rob, needless to say, it's one of my favorite weeks of the year. I'm really looking forward to it. I just finished a column that we'll post this weekend about some of my experiences, some of the things I've seen down at Augusta National. And, yeah, I'm going to make arrangements. We can't bring cell phones onto the grounds, Rob, so I've got to prearrange some interview times to meet with Tatum and McKenna and their parents sometime during the day Monday on the course.
Well, that'll be sweet, and can't wait to see I think everyone's looking forward to the week at Augusta National, which actually begins this Wednesday with the Augusta National Women's Amateur going through Saturday, final round on at Augusta National. I heard today on Golf Channel, Gary, that there's that break between, I think, what is it, the second and third round, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is an off day where they get to play a practice round at Augusta National, and this year they're letting the Augusta National Women's Amateur competitors do a par three contest or play the par three course, which will be kind of cool.
Oh, I haven't heard that, Rob. Yeah, what a treat. Yeah, that is going to be a lot of fun for those young women to be able to experience the par three course too. I hadn't heard that, but that's a little bonus to being able to not only practice but then play around at Augusta National.
Absolutely. A few other things that we've written about in the last week. Gary also had a neat story on the center cut putter grip. Gary, you can only imagine that the center cut putter grip, very popular where I'm located down here in the 55-plus community in Arizona, because not everybody can get the golf ball out of the hole. But you talked to the co-owner of Center Cut and wrote a nice story on that feature. I guess, is it still popular?
You know, I it's funny, Rob. I remember watching the Champions Tour last year and seeing Tim Heron use the butt end of his putter to plunge the ball out of the hole. And I thought, man, I've never seen that before on the Champions Tour. I mean, I've seen it on muni courses around Milwaukee, but I've never seen it on a professional golf tour. And it turns out that Tim had signed a contract with the Center Cut to endorse and represent them on tour. And, you know, it's the thing about the grip, Rob, is if you're familiar with Super Stroke, it's just like a Super Stroke grip, except it has an attachment you can either leave on or take off.
Wow.
To plunge the hole. So it's a really good putter grip that happens to have that attachment on the end.
So have there been improvements to it? Cause I remember there used to be a thing you do just jam on the end, but now they actually make it as part of the grip.
Yeah, it's got a little snap ring on the end of on the butt end of the putter grip, and the plunger snaps into the putter, and it's really hard to maroon. You have to pull it really hard to be able to get it off the putter. And it's just it's built in a way so that it looks like it's a part of the grip and it's not some black rubber piece on the end of the putter. You know, it's really a sharp looking putter grip, and I'm gonna put one on one of my gamers, Rob, and I'm gonna use it, and you're gonna have to put up with a little good natured ribbing, I think, the first time you pull it out in your foursome. But for anyone who's got bad knees or a bad back, and you don't have to bend over and get the ball out of the hole, it's a blessing.
It is. Well, I've got nobody gets too caught up in their egos down here. I've seen those. And then I've got another golf partner that uses one of those. It's basically a quiver bag that fits into the front of his golf bag and houses his clubs for around the green. And that way, when you know you leave the cart, you can just take the bag and then walk up the fairway from 100 yards and in, and it kind of speeds up play. We kind of call it his man purse, but you know, it helps speed up play. And there are times, especially when we're cart path only, where I think we all would like that kind of bag. So, yeah, there's a lot of neat gadgets and inventions, and glad that you were able to touch base with Jim Quinlan and you know, write about that. And speaking of old guy golf, it's going to be deja vu all over again on the PGA Tour Champions. My week over at or my Thursday at the LPGA event, and then subsequently touching base with Emily on Friday. I decided this week not to make the journey across the desert to California. Both Steve Stricker and Jerry Kelly were in contention heading in the final round. Steve Stricker shoots a final round 69. Jerry Kelly a 72. They finish T6 and T11 behind Retief Goosen, who was the unlikely winner, Gary, after a lot of guys really struggled down the stretch. Ricardo Gonzalez, who you talk about a guy with driver problems, he was hitting the ball all over the map on the back nine. And he was a winner earlier this year in Morocco to get status. And he was right there at 12 under. But Stephen Elker had the tournament won. All he had to do was lay up on 18 after Goosen hit it in the water there on the famous finishing hole at Mission Hills. And Elker hit one in the water. And he was not able to get up and down. Retief Goosen was. Goosen wins by a shot. Stricker at 10 under. If Stricker had actually putted well the last day, Gary, he would have actually, he would have been about maybe two shots clear of everybody. But it's just been a tough year so far for Steve to get over the hump. He had a trip to Titleist with daughter Izzy to get her some clubs on Monday. Wound up putting another set of new irons in the bag. He's experimenting right now. It's shocking to believe that a guy who did so well last year is experimenting, but he's got a lot of guys. I think Goosen's like the sixth different winner we've had on the PGA Tour Champions this year.
It's funny. We're talking about Steve maybe getting off to a little bit of a slow start, and he's got four top tens and five starts. That's the standard he has set. You know, if he's not in the lead or within a shot or two of it, it's like, what's going on with Steve this week? It's a very high standard, and but all those top tens, eventually he's going to win again. We all know that. It's just a matter of time.
And we should mention, too, Mario Tiziani with the T14 finish, his best finish in four or five starts this year. He was 3-under through 10, bogeyed 11, and then parred his way in. But it was getting cold, rainy, and windy there for a while. They showed a picture of Brett Quigley's umbrella, and it looked like a few of them that I've seen at the State High School Girls Championship in the fall. When the wind blows, the rain falls, and you can't keep the umbrella in its natural position. So, it was crazy. Now, they've got a week or two off here around the Masters and this week, and then they head down to the invited celebrity championship in Irvin, Texas, I believe. And that'll be the next time we might see Steve, Jerry, and Mario. But, quarter of the way through the season, I'm not sure that we things have unfolded as we kind of thought they might, but I don't know. They're not far off. I mean, all these guys have had opportunities, I would not be surprised to see Steve, Jerry, or Mario, for that matter, break through here in the coming months as we get back towards more familiar fairways and grasses in the Midwest.
Yeah, absolutely, Rob. Next week when I'm at the Masters on Wednesday night, we have our annual Golf Writers Association of America dinner, and I'll have the honor of presenting Steve as our Senior Player of the Year. We don't call it Champions Tour Player of the Year because it takes into account players all over the world in Europe and Asia. And Steve's our Senior Player of the Year, and I believe he's coming with Izzy, Bobby, Nikki, and possibly Mario. They'll be sitting at my table with our friend Carolyn Schomburger from Century Insurance. So should be a really fun night, and I'll be sure to tweet out a lot of photos from that night, Rob.
Well, that'll be great. Izzy, of course, on the bag for the last two tournaments with Steve. They had a great time, and tell you what, the PGA Tour Champions taking full advantage of Bobby and Izzy being around, and great stuff with old pictures of Steve and asking Izzy to kind of evaluate hairstyles, and she was kind of incredulous that Dad used to have a mullet. I'm not sure we called it a mullet though when he had a mullet, because it was just, you know, thin wisps of blonde hair coming out through the cap. But I guess now looking back, it was kind of a mullet.
I think he also had his hair parted in the middle at some point, and he had the cascading hair going down both sides of his head, if I remember right. we'll have to dredge up some of those photos and get Steve to comment on them next week.
Not only the hairstyles, but the clothing styles. There was one shirt that he was wearing that Izzy kind of thought had come back in the style, but two others, including what was the two-man competition? I think he and Tiger played it over in Wales. There was always like some sort of, you know, match play team event, but it was two-person teams. And apparently Corey Pavin must have picked the outfit, and I mean it was something god awful. And you know, pictures do last forever. You know, I mean, even though they're not digital, you know, enough people have enough of them on in the files that it's always funny when those come up. But that was the clothing, the polos were as interesting as the hairstyles.
It's funny, Rob. You know, I think it was at Medina when the team attire at least one day was red pants, I'm pretty sure. Oof. And I remember asking Steve, I said, Steve, is this the first time you ever wore red pants on the golf course? And he said, yes, and it'll be the last. He did not like the red pants.
Well, not much different than the Illini orange. I'm sure that was in the repertoire down at Illinois. But that was cool to watch them compete. It's been kind of like a 3 or 4 week run for Steve and family. So I'm sure he's looking forward to a little time off. PGA Tour of Americas, Harris Vinat, Sam Anderson, and George Kneiser missed the cut down in Guadalajara, Mexico at the Total Play Championship. But Thomas Longbella, another top 10, a 3-under par 68 in Sunday's round. He finishes at 11. He was to have competed in the Monday qualifier for the, is it still the Valero Texas Open this week, and pulled out of that because it would have been hard to get back from Mexico. But so far, Thomas Longbella off to a pretty good start south of the border.
Oh, that's outstanding, Rob. Yeah. You know, we've talked about him for 4 or 5 years now, you know, ever since he won the State AM at Milwaukee Country Club. Another one of those guys who has every tool in the bag, and sounds like he's figuring things out. And, you know, he's had a couple years now of PGA Tour Canada and Americas, playing south of the border, north of the border. He's getting all those experiences and getting better and better. And here's another guy that I think has a really good chance to make it, Rob.
So we'll keep following him. College golf, to wrap up Talking.Golf, a couple of events I wanted to point to. The Wisconsin Badger women's golf team, a strong third-place finish down at the Bruzzy. They just call it the Bruzzy. I'm hoping I say that right. Could be the Bruzzy. At Dornick Hills Country Club in Ardmore, Oklahoma, the Badgers finished third behind Arkansas, Notre Dame. It was a very solid showing for Vanessa Ho as she finishes T6, Chloe Chan T9. They had a lot of it was interesting because it kind of ebbed and flowed. They had the 36-hole opener where Chloe Chan shot 69 and then followed that up with a 71. Carly Carter, who played the number two position, opened with a 79, came back with a 69, but then ballooned to a 78. So Todd Erline still with some, I think, lineup decisions. But, boy, this particular unit has played quite well. Alexia Seal wasn't in the team lineup at Westbrook when they played so well, but she was the third Badger overall here and in Oklahoma. But boy, I'm excited for what lies ahead for the Badger women.
Yeah, outstanding result, and they played well. You know, in the early spring here, they had a couple good high finishes now in tournaments, right? So
a couple of high finishes, and again. You know, part of the importance of this time of year is being able to and is to be able to position the team for postseason consideration, but also to get, you know, high enough into the rankings so that when this great group that includes Izzy Stricker comes in this fall, adds to the depth that they already have, that they're, able to kind of have a better starting point in 2024-25 than they had at the start of the 23-24 season. So, there's kind of a dual importance here, for the Badgers to play well. So they're off for a couple weeks, and I think they've got one event left before the Big Ten Championships at the end of the month. And Gary, there's one last event I wanted to mention here today, the Golf Week AGT Intercollegiate, because It was played in Pawleys Island, South Carolina, at a place called the Caledonia Golf and Fish Club. I don't know if you've got a golf and fish club in your Caledonia, but they do down in South Carolina. And the North Dakota State Bison were led by two Wisconsin golfers. It was both Nora Roberts and Elise Hoven. Elise Hoven had an eagle in an opening round 74, and Nora Roberts playing out of the four position. Four birdies and two bogeys in a 200 par round of 69. North Dakota State currently sixth out of 19 teams in that field. And Nora Roberts currently T2 down there. She was both the Wisconsin State Golf Association Women's Player of the Year runner-up and the Girls Player of the Year runner-up this last year. So her freshman year at North Dakota State going quite well. But the Caledonia Golf and Fish Club, Gary, any golf and fish combinations down there in Caledonia, Wisconsin?
There might be after all this rain today, Rob, but – but I will say, I have played that golf course, Caledonia Fish and Golf Club, and it is wide open on the marsh down there just south of Myrtle Beach, and I thought it was a really difficult golf course. Of course, they're all tough for me, but that's some pretty good scoring then by the Cows girls.
So do we segue from the Golf and Fish Club to your lead in the sweet spot today, Trout Lakes Makeover? You've got apparently good things coming up there at a very popular golf course in the North Woods. We're not quite done yet. We should have touched on that Trout Lake with some major what seems to be, I guess, a pretty big facelift for a 100th birthday celebration.
Yeah, and the architects who are in charge of the overseeing the project, Paul Albanese and Chris Lutsky, I've written about both of those guys. I really respect their work. I think they're going to probably do really, really good things at Trout Lake. I have not played there, Rob. I was trying to think of when I played there. I think it was the early 1980s. I remember the clubhouse with the big wraparound porch. I don't remember much of the golf course. But Scott Howard, the PGA professional, we have an open invitation when we go up there and cover the state open, Rob, to go over, buzz over to Trout Lake and see the course, and maybe we can squeeze a round in.
Well, I've already talked my way into covering that U.S. Amateur over at Hazeltine and Chaska Town Course and staying by my daughter. So once the Wisconsin contingent checks out of there, we might need to have some, maybe some provisions for an early arrival in the North Woods so we can play there. I want to play St. Germain Golf Clubs. I've never played there either.
Oh,
and
okay.
I've played Eagle River. I've played North Woods. I've covered tournaments at Timber Ridge. I played in Shala at Tomahawk on a very rainy day one night, and I played the nine-holer up in Saner that has the crater green, but I've never played Trout Lake. Rob Schultz always raved about it, the golf writer at the Cap Times in Madison for back when I was at the State Journal. And then St. Germain. And then across from St. Germain, Gary, the Augusta Par 3 course of Wisconsin, the 19th hole, it looks from the road to be tree-lined par 3 holes. If you don't get enough tree-lined holes in the North Woods at regulation size, why not nine more at a par three? Try to keep that in between the pine trees.
Yeah, it's to my dying regret, Rob, that I played St. Germain but never made it across the street to play the par three. So when you come up, and we go over and play some golf, we'll try to tackle both those.
We will. This could be a tour coming up here in August. So with that, we will start planning our summer itinerary, and we'll talk golf again next week.
All right, Rob, thank you.
All right, for Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf.